Acts chapter 26, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Bible. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 1 and 2. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. I'm going to preach a message, and I'm going to take the title from the first four words of verse number 2. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. I think myself happy." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would teach us something about ourselves tonight and allow us, Lord, to learn something from the Apostle Paul, who was not only zealous in his service to you, but also, Lord, the man of a remarkable attitude, and, Lord, would have ample reason, if he wanted to be depressed and to be down and to be bitter at man and bitter at God. And yet, here's a man that had gone through so much, and yet, what a wonderful spirit. Lord, may we learn one of the secrets to his success in the ministry and his success in winning people to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was captivated by this phrase recently when I was reading through the book of Acts. "I believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." If there's anything I've learned to do when it comes to my reading of the Bible, and I say this often, is that I've learned through the years to slow down. I think when I was younger, it was all about volume. It was about the quantity. I think now it's about the quality of the time I spend in God's Word. And I like just looking phrase by phrase at a book, at a verse, and asking God to show me something I've never seen before. Let me summarize the previous chapters in the adventure called the life of the Apostle Paul. Let me just go back a few chapters and summarize some of the things that happened. Acts chapter 16, Paul is beaten and spends a night in prison. Acts chapter 17, Paul's ministry at Thessalonica results in a riot and in an assault on the house of Jason. Acts 18, Paul was accosted and brought before the local magistrate. Acts 19, Paul's preaching incites a uproar by the silversmiths of Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, the Jews are laying wait for Paul to assassinate him. Acts 21, Paul is seized by the Jews, arrested, and bound in chains. Acts 22, Paul, in order to avoid a scourging, announces his Roman citizenship. Acts 23, Paul, still under arrest, is brought before both the Sanhedrin and then prepares to go before Governor Felix. Acts 24, Paul faces a skilled prosecutor, a hired gun, who makes false accusation and presents lies against both Paul's cause and his personal character. Acts chapter 25, Paul appears before Festus for trial, still under arrest. By the way, here's the man that will tell Paul that he's mad after he hears his testimony. And then in Acts chapter 26, Paul then makes his appearance before Agrippa. Now, I could go back also in those chapters and show you some wonderful victories and show you some churches that were established and souls that were saved, but if you are inclined to look for the negative and the darker side of life, Paul certainly could have gone back and had plenty of reason to be down and to be depressed and to be defeated at this time in his life. But he learned something. He learned to do something. And this is what he learned to do. He learned to think himself happy. Think himself happy. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." Now, that phrase is there on purpose, folks. "I think myself happy." Let me just make some statements. Number one, you can think yourself sad. Sure you can. Absolutely. You can get some things on your mind that takes you back to times of heartache and disappointment in your life, and you can dwell on those things to the point where, you know, you begin to grieve over those things, and you can. By the way, I don't think it's wrong to spend time grieving from time to time. I mean that. I think grief is a place you ought to visit, not a place you ought to live. And it's fine every once in a while to go back and visit a place and experience some grief and mourn a loss. I don't think there's anything in the world wrong with that. If somebody's putting you down for that or acting like there's something defective in you, folks, listen to me, that's a very powerful human emotion and certainly one that God has given us. And there's a sweetness to it because most of the time we're going back and thinking about the loss of a loved one or something like that. Many of us take time to go to the cemetery from time to time and visit a spot of sacred ground, and I don't think it's wrong at all to stand there and smile a little bit and cry a little bit and wipe some tears and grieve a little bit. But it's a place, watch this, it's a place to visit, and it's not a place to live. And it's okay to, watch this, it's okay to think yourself sad as long as you have scheduled and intend to spend time thinking yourself sad. Now, emotions are strange things. I understand that. But I do think that it's something that we need to learn to use and learn to control and learn also to use, and I'll talk to you about in just a minute, to our advantage when it comes to the Christian life. So you can think yourself sad. You can think yourself mad. I can. Am I alone? If I want to, there's a handful of things I can think about. And I mean, by the time, it won't be 5 minutes and I'll just be hot. I'll just want to go shoot somebody, kill somebody, blow up something, run over something. I mean, if I think about the wrong things, I can get mad pretty quick. Come on now. I can think myself, like last week, you know, the Bears played the Buffalo Bills. And good night, the Buffalo Bills. At home, the Buffalo Bills. They're pathetic. They're the bottom of the barrel. They're the down in the dumps. I mean, the Bears, they came into Chicago. They only came to be sacrificial lambs or sacrificial buffaloes or whatever they are. And they beat us. They beat us in overtime. And see, I'm getting mad right now thinking about it. I can't think about that. I'm being mad. I'm literally out there to that game. I'm throwing stuff and yelling and carrying on. I can think myself mad. I can. You can think yourself sad. You can think yourself mad. Watch this. You can think yourself glad. And now I want to talk to you about this. Watch this. See, emotions are strange things, but emotions are designed by God to always be attached to the thought process. Now think about that. Emotions are strange things, but they are attached to the thought process. And some people are controlled by their emotions. Their emotions are uncontrolled because, you know what? Really, their thinking is uncontrolled. They are not disciplined. The Bible talks about teaching young men to be sober-minded. If you look up that word and study it out, it means the word sober means to be self-controlled. And if you're going to be sober-minded, then you're self-controlled in what you choose to think about. And it's not that wrong thoughts can't be planted into our mind and wrong thoughts can't pop into our mind, but when you are exercise self-discipline and self-control, then what you do is, you know, one man said this, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from landing in your hair and building a nest. You may not be able to stop a thought from coming into your mind, but you do not have to sit there and dwell on that thought. And self-discipline says, you know what, devil, you don't choose what I think about today. I'm going to choose what I think about today. And I'm not going to be undisciplined in my thinking, because if I'm undisciplined in my thinking, then I'm undisciplined in my emotions, because how a man thinks, that is how he's going to feel. And listen, what Paul is doing here, now think about this, folks. If Paul wanted to, he could have sat in that prison the night before. And he could have gone over the things that I just talked about. He could have sat there and be angry because of the beatings that he's taken. Lord, I'm just trying to do right here. I'm just doing what you've called me to do. He could look back at the riots and the assault on the house of Jason and think about those things. He could think about how he was unfairly arrested and how he's had to stand before magistrates in all of these cities and the uproars and the selfishness and the greed of the silversmiths of Ephesus and the Jews that had put a price on his head, and Paul was aware of it, and there were men out there trying to assassinate him so that they could collect a ransom, a reward. And think about how he was seized by the Jews, and he could have gotten bitter against the Jews. If there's ever a people that ought to be embracing the Messiah, it's God's chosen people, and yet the people that ought to be with me on this are against me on this thing. And Paul, if he wanted to, could sit there in the cell, the prison cell, the night before he's to go before Agrippa. And you know what? He could have thought in such a way that made him sad and grievous. And he could have thought in such a way that made him mad and bitter. But you know what he did? He sat there and he pushed all of that aside. And he looked at tomorrow. And you know what he saw? He saw what very few of us would have saw in this circumstance. He saw this. This is an opportunity. Not I have to go before King Agrippa, and I don't know what this is going to mean, and I don't know where I'm going to end up, and I don't know what punishment I'm going to face. But no, I get to speak before a king. I get to speak before a king's court. I have the opportunity to stand there. God, please help me to have the boldness. Please help me to have the clarity. But I have the opportunity to share the gospel with some of the most powerful people in the kingdom. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. It's all on the way he thought about it. It's all on the way he viewed it. Some people are controlled by their emotions. Others spend their lives fighting their emotions. Sadly, watch this, listen to this. This is a danger. Some people can't keep control and get tired of fighting, so they try to turn off their emotions. And by the way, as a Christian, don't do that. Well, you know what? I just won't feel anything. I'm just going to quit caring about everything. You know what? God gave you emotions because you need emotions. And you know what? Listen, you lose the tear in your eye, you're going to lose the power of God on your life. I mean, isn't it, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And you know what? You need those emotions. You need them to serve the Lord. You need them to be able to connect with people. But I do believe this. The wise man and the wise woman at some point learn to, listen to this, use their emotions. Every person should study the science of your own emotions. And I believe that you ought to practice doing this. You said you can think yourself sad and think yourself mad and think yourself glad. You mean I could do that? Yeah, you could do it all tomorrow. You could all do it. You could spend 5 minutes doing the first one, and 5 minutes doing the second one, and 5 minutes doing the third one if you wanted to. By the way, if you get good at anything, you might want to practice at it. And I think that there's, listen, I want to use the emotions that God gives me so that I can be appropriate for the situation that I'm going to be facing right before I do a funeral. I always go through the same process. I'm talking about I get here early enough and I go in my office and I always have some quiet time. I think about the life of the person that I'm going to go stand before in front of the casket and talk about and eulogize, and I think about the family members that have been touched by the loss, and I do the best I can. God, please, for a few minutes, let me think about what it would be if that was my wife. Let me think about what it would be if that was my dad, if it was my mom. And of course, the longer you live in life, the more you have to draw from, because at times you have been there and there's some of that you can draw from. But listen, folks, I can take about 30 minutes and I can, you know what, ready myself so that I can come in with a tender heart and empathize and sympathize and extend compassion and care properly to that family that's going through the grief. But listen to me, folks, you know what? You have to decide that you're going to do that. You know what? I go through something before I go on visitation. And I think it would be a good thing to do. You bus workers and those of you young people go on soul winning, those of you involved in door-to-door soul winning, I think it's good every once in a while just go somewhere and turn the lights off. And just for a few minutes, just imagine yourself as best you can in hell. Think about the people that are there. Think about that rich man that was begging for somebody to come back and tell their family. What I'm saying is you can take 15, 20 minutes and you can get yourself and your mind and your emotions in a good state so that when you go out there, you know what, you're feeling properly and you're ready and you got a burden. Well, I just don't have a burden for souls. I'd go somewhere if I don't have a burden for souls. You don't have a burden for souls because you don't have the character to think right. You don't exercise the character to properly prepare your emotions for what you're going to face. Now listen, there's not a person in here. If you'd change your thinking and decide you're going to discipline your thinking, you can think yourself to the proper emotion that you need to face what is ahead of you. You know what? I think sometimes as Christians we ought to get mad about some things. I feel like sometimes I'm getting too nice. I know you don't see that, but sometimes I feel like I'm getting too nice. And you know what? I say to myself, Lord, I'm telling you what, I just feel like that I don't hate sin the way I used to hate it. And so I begin to think about all of the people whose lives have been touched by sin and destroyed by sin and hurt by sin. And I begin to get angry at it. And by the way, I want to stay mad at the devil. I want to be mad at the devil. Like I said often from this pulpit, there's no compromise here. There's no meeting place. Me and him's never going to sign a treaty. I'm his declared enemy, and he's my declared enemy, and that's the way it ought to be as a Christian. And well, I think Christians ought to just love everybody. No, you're not. You're supposed to hate the devil. supposed to hate the devil. Supposed to hate sin, love the sinner, but hate the sin. And so sometimes what I need to do is I need to hit a reset button in my life concerning my emotion towards evil, my emotion towards sin, and my emotion towards the devil. Now, I want to see if I can help you tonight. I promise you, I won't have you here very long. You're going to be astounded at how early you get out tonight. But let me just teach you a little bit about this and just give you some suggestions. And when I say make a science or a study of it, you know what? Some of the things that works for you and some of the memories that you have that trigger certain things are going to be different than myself. And so you have to learn yourself. Hey, preacher, how do I learn myself like that? Well, here's just a suggestion. Watch this. And the next time you get really, really sad, I mean, you're down at the bottom and you're depressed, stop yourself. Say, stop. Why am I here? What have I been thinking about? Now, that doesn't mean that you write that down and say, well, I'm never going to do that again. But now you know what takes you there. Because sometimes you need to go there. All right. But then when you're happy, I mean, you know what? You're just, I mean, you know, you have those days where it's just like, wow, you know, and it's just, I don't know. So you're thinking, oh, why am I so happy today? So you stop. Watch, I'm talking about making a science and learning yourself. So you stop and say, what has happened or what have I been thinking about today? And you know, I laugh out loud a lot by myself. And that's one of the things that's going to put me in the loony bin one of these days, you know. But I do. I find great humor in certain things. And I, you know what? Listen, if I feel like that the devil is oppressing me and I feel like, you know, he's given me a heavy countenance and a heavy heart, unnecessarily so, you know what? I know of 8 or 10 or 9 things that I can go through in my mind. And watch this. I can think myself happy. I can think myself happy. And so you have to study you. Let me tell you some of the things. Number one, I think myself happy by remembering the day that I was saved. You know what, folks? If you don't have any other place to start, all of us that are Christians have one thing in common. We have that salvation day and that salvation minute. Memory. And so how many times have you, some of you could stand up and give my testimony better and more accurately than I can give my own testimony, or as accurately as I can give you my testimony, because you've heard me talk about it. Sometimes in the middle of a sermon, it's not even in the sermon. But you know what? I don't feel like my heart's soft enough. I don't feel like it's touched enough. I don't feel like I you know what? I need a touch of God. So I'll just stop and start talking about the day I got saved. And you know what, Brother Joe? I'll just preach myself into having a tender heart and a happiness and a joy and an excitement about the things of God. You know why? Because I choose to think myself happy. I choose to think myself happy. So I go back to that day. So every single one of you ought to go back to that day and you ought to relive it. You ought to talk about it every chance you get. You ought to tell people about it. You ought to tell your family about it. You ought to go through and tell yourself about it. I think myself happy by remembering the day that I was saved. Number two, I think myself happy by remembering past victories. Remembering past victories. And you know what? There's just, I don't know, there's probably 10 or 12 things in my life, maybe a little bit more than that. Maybe, I don't know, I've not, but there's probably 10 or 12 things in my life where I can go back and just revisit an instance in a time where I was able to witness the miraculous hand and power of God in a situation. I was cleaning my office out, and I did. I took part of Monday morning, I think it was this week, Monday morning, and my office is just a train wreck. I'll just tell you, it's just a train wreck. And I've been talking about it. I was going to do it all last winter and never did it. And I was going to do it in the spring and never did it. And I was going to do it in the summer and running 100 miles an hour. And so finally, I'm like, it's shameful. I mean, I hate to have people come in my office. It looks more like a flea market than it does a pastor's office. And it's a mess. And so I said, I've got to do something about this. So I'm going through, and then I got my desk situated, and then I've got to worked on my file cabinets, and then I'm working on my shelves, and I'm trying to get things organized. And I did some of it on Monday morning, just for a couple hours, and then I needed to get some other things done. So I jumped back on it on Wednesday morning, a couple hours, and worked on it. It's probably about half done. And you say, well, why don't you have somebody else do it? Folks, come on. No way. I'd never find, my wife would love to get in there and do it and organize my life. And then I would be completely at her mercy because she's the only one that would know. And she practically runs the place back there anyway. And so I've got to have at least one office, one area where I know where everything's at. And so no, I got to do it. I just got to hammer it out and do it. But In the course of going through drawers and pictures and all this stuff and gathering whatever, I found a little stack about that big of that B10501 cards we had. And you know what I did? I just took about 2 or 3 minutes and thought myself happy, man. I went to another drawer and they had the little B10501 buttons and I laid them on top of the cards and I spent a couple minutes and just thought myself happy. And you know what, church? Listen, there's been times when God has just come down in power and strength in your life personally or in the life of this church. And people ask about that. I mean, the story's kind of gotten out. I think some of y'all have been telling. People stop me and ask me about that day. And I like testifying. I like to talk about it. And even though it was in some ways maybe one of the most difficult weeks of my family's life, but at the same time, what a wonderful thing to see that where that sorrow was and that sorrowing was, God just so abundantly poured out His grace and His mercy. I mean, how do you on a Friday bury your father and on a Sunday have 665 in church and everybody in this church? There's nobody here that has an answer to that as far as from the human perspective. We all are walking around on that day looking at each other saying, where's all these people come from? And to see the number of people that received Christ that day. And you know what? Folks, listen to me. Listen, if you want to, go ahead. And I know we've all got defeats, and I know we all have failures in life, and I know we all have regrets in life, and if all you want to do is live there, then live there. But I promise you this too, God's been good to you, and God's brought blessings upon your life. And you know what? You have experienced victories through God. And by the way, I'm going to get to something here in a minute. You say, preacher, well, I don't have a lot of them. Well, you can get some. You can get some, but you're not going to get them sitting on the sideline. Are you listening to me? You know who has the most memories of victories when it comes to the things of God? The people that have dared to attempt the most for Christ. The ones that have the greatest victories are the ones that have dared to attempt. Now you say, well, they also have the most failures, most disappointments. That may be true, but I'm going to tell you this, that you don't get victories without failures, and you don't get victories without setbacks. And you know what? You don't win every battle, but if you don't fight any, and you never take a risk and you never take a chance, then you know what? You don't have much at the end of your life to look upon. So I think myself happy remembering the day I was saved. I think myself happy remembering past victories and what I just told you a few minutes ago. You know what I'll do? I'll take that memory of just about, boy, I'm going to tell you what, Lord, teach me something and remind me and thank you for what you reminded me of today. But folks, listen, that lady that I was able to kneel down and win to Christ, I almost walked past her. You know what? How guilty are we? And you know what? I looked over at her and I see her looking at me and she's smiling and I know she wants, it's almost like she wants to talk to me, wants my attention. And you know what? Folks, I'm as human as everybody else and it's Sunday afternoon and I'm tired and you know, but wait a minute. People were worth a few minutes of your time. And I thought, this lady, as I can see just by looking at her face, she'd like me to come talk to her. So I went over and introduced myself and knelt down, took a few minutes, found out something about her. And then all of a sudden, the question, would you baptize me? And here we go. And I think God's in on this thing. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm going to take that and put it in the treasure chest of my memories. And you know what? If you just go out there. Now, listen, I wouldn't have that if I decided, you know what? I'm too busy on Sunday. I mean, I just want to sleep on Sunday afternoon. I don't want to be involved in nursing home ministries. And thank you for every single one of you families that take of a Sunday a month or a Monday a month and just go do those things. And you know what? The honest truth is there's not a one of you that couldn't, if I asked you, convey to me some sweet, sweet stories about what God has used you and seen you do. And there's victories there. There's victories there. What I'm saying is, listen, preacher, I don't have a lot of victories when it comes, a lot of past victories, a lot of memories to draw from. All right, let me give you number three. Number one, I think myself happy by remembering the day I was saved. I think myself happy by remembering past victories. Watch this. I think myself happy by planning future victories. And I do. I mean, I've always got 4 or 5 things on the back burner. I've got things cooking right now. I've got things we're prepping for right now. I've got where there is no vision, the people perish. And I'm not sitting around waiting for somebody to come up with something for me to do. I'm always looking for something to do, something to be involved in. I want to see God do some things. There's a stirring going on in the church. There's some things that are being prepared. I wish I could share everything with you, but I'm going to tell you, God is starting to do some things that I'm almost afraid to talk about, because I know the devil's listening, but let me say this, folks. I think the greatest days of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're on the threshold of seeing some unbelievable, neat things happen. Hey, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be on the fringe. I want to be in the middle of it. I want to be wherever I can be to have a part of it. And listen, you can think about, if you want to, spend all your life thinking about past defeats. Say, preacher, I don't even have any past victory. Then instead of sitting around thinking about the regrets, then decide that you're going to take that time and instead discipline your mind and start planning to be involved in some things where you can have future great victories for the Lord. And so we've got some things that we're working on, and we're going to be telling you more about them in the months ahead as we plan for 2015. And I'm excited about what God's going to do, and I'm looking forward to it. Let me give you this last thought. I think myself happy by anticipating my future home. And so let me just tell you what'll work if it seems like nothing else works. Preacher, I'm telling you, I'm looking for something good, and it's just I'm not finding it. I mean, I'm not at the bottom of the barrel. I'm under the barrel. Okay, it landed on me. You say, look up. Well, I am, and I can see the bottom of the barrel. You know, that's all I see. But you know what? Thank God. We can always go back, take our Bibles and flip back to Revelation chapter number 21 and just read about heaven. And Jesus made some promises to us, didn't he? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house or what? Many mansions. I've never lived in a mansion. Come on now. You call me selfish you want to, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. I mean, I want to walk up in front of my building and go, whoa, dude. Oh, yeah. You know, and I've never walked on streets of gold. Good night. I'm just praying that whoever's in charge of our county roads aren't put in charge of the roads up there because be potholes everywhere, but I mean, that's heaven right there. There's not going to be any potholes. It's going to be gold, not only golden streets, but you know what? There's no holes in it. I'm thinking about just standing. I can't wait to just stand there and see the throne of God and watch that river come out of it and watch that tree of life and every month go there in the 12 different fruits, each one a different one every month. And I mean, what kind of a tree does that? And to be able to eat from that, not only enough for me, but enough for y'all, enough for everybody and God's people. I mean, folks, come on now. Don't forget this thought. Watch this. I don't care how dark of a day you're having or how much it just seems like, preacher, I can't get up from where the devil's knocked me down. Just remember something. Watch this. I say this to myself a lot. 100 years from now, this day isn't going to matter. 100 years from now, this day isn't going to matter. Something bad will happen. I'll say, you know what? In my heart, when I can't go anywhere else, I'll say, you know what? 100 years from now, this is going to be a bleep on the radar. It won't even be a bleep on the radar. You know, sometimes we get, oh, man, you know, crisis and all this. I think, you know what? We're going to be in glorified bodies. We'll never be sick. No more funerals. No more hospital visits. No more hospitals. No more surgeries. No more cancer. Never have to hear the C word ever again, you know? And to be able to be with God's children and God's people and catch up with everything we never had time to catch up on here. And not only do we get to catch up with each other, but, I mean, you think about heaven. Man alive, come on now. I mean, could you imagine just saying, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do today? I don't know. I got this kind of idea about heaven, and I don't know. I think it's pretty, I've convinced myself of it. I know that. I think I got pretty good Bible on it, but I'm going to tell you something. God made is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's not just going to make a new heaven. He's going to make a new heaven and a day. And he said, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from. Well, if he's coming down from heaven, where is it coming to? And you know, everybody reads that chapter and says, well, we're going to go to heaven. Listen, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. Okay, I don't think only 144,000 is going to heaven and the rest is going to live on earth. But I think that we're going to be able to have access to heaven and the new earth. Why would God make a new heaven or new earth if we don't have any access to it? Folks, you know, a lot of you say, preacher, there's so many places on this planet I wish I could have gone in my 70, 80 years and I haven't got to go to. Folks, you're going to have 1,000 years of the millennial reign, and then after they remake everything, you're going to have forever. Now think about that. And then there's this once a month meeting at the throne of God, and I think that that's, I really personally believe that there's two things that sustains life for the glorified body. Why would they call it a river of what? Why would they call it a river of life if it wasn't a river of life? Study that out. It means a river or water, life-giving water. The tree of life is life-giving, a tree of life-giving fruit. And once a month it blooms and produces fruit. And I'm just telling you what I kind of think it's going to be. I think that once a month we're going to gather there at the throne of God when the tree of life puts on fruit, and we're going to drink of the water of life and eat from the tree of life, and we're going to have the worship service of a life. I mean, it's going to be a gathering. It's going to be a praise, glory, hallelujah. And we're going to be at the throne of God, and we're going to worship at the feet of God. And I don't know how long it'll last, but I mean, hey, it'll be good. It'll be good. You talk about singing? Come on now. You talk about singing and praising God and testimonies and all of that. But then, you know, I think after we do that for a while, you know, we're going to have a month. And Brother Levi, I'm going to say, hey, man, listen, you want to go somewhere this month? Where do you want to go? Well, let's go to what used to be China, man. Let's go. We're going to glorified bodies. We're going to be able to go a lot of places. Cool. I mean, no airplane. There you go, man. You want to go check out the universe? You want to go look around? And by the way, I'll tell you what, man. I'd like to spend some time with you, but you know who I haven't got to see hardly at all? Let's go find Elijah. And let's see if he'll go with us for 2 or 3 days, man. And let's pump him full of questions, man. I mean, how cool would that be to hang out, me, Levi, and Elijah hanging out? I mean, that's awesome. Amen. Take some of that fruit from the tree of life, stick it in our pockets so we got something to snack on, you know. Maybe get a canteen of the water. And you know what, folks, listen to me. You say, well, what do you mean? We got to come back. No, it's not we got to come back every month. We're going to want to come back every month. I mean, I think after a while, no matter what we do, the longer we're away from or out doing stuff, the more every once in a while I say, man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go back and see the Lord. I'm going to go back and see Jesus. I just want to fall at his feet. Well, yeah, I know. Let's go, man. Well, it's early. Well, let's just go early and praise him for a few days. You know, let's hang out. And listen, I mean that. I don't think it's going to be, listen, those of you got this idea of laying around on a cloud, playing a harp, and, you know, if that's heaven, I'm tempted to want to go to the other place. I don't know, but. But that don't sound any good to me. Brother, listen, man, it's going to be a time. And we're going to be able to do that for all eternity. And we're going to be able to, yeah, there'll be times of worship and there'll be times of praise. And I trust me, you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. But I don't think the worship that we experience here on earth touches the hem of the garment of what real worship is going to be when we're standing before God. It's not going to be something where all we got to go do. It's going to be, I can't wait to get back to God. I can't wait to look into the face of Jesus one more time. I mean, folks, listen to me. He died for us. He's our best friend. Nobody loved us like him. And I think in our glorified bodies, we're finally going to be able to return that love and pureness like I wish I could now, but I so often fall short. I'll be able to love him, be able to talk to him, spend time with him. But you know what? He made the earth originally for our good pleasure. And all of the things he created in the animals was for our good pleasure. And I mean the beautiful trees, and I mean all of the flowers, that was for our good pleasure. And you look at this beautiful earth, and it is. It's still mind-boggling how beautiful their portions of this earth is. But watch this, it's under the curse of sin. It's not even near what it used to be, and God's going to remake it again. And you talk about a place. And that city's going to have gates. And I mean, we're going to be heading towards the city, whether we're flying through the air or walking on the ground, whatever we choose to do with these glorified bodies. And we're going to see that city and we're going to say, man, hey, it's reunion time. Here we go. Let's gather again, you know. And what I'm just saying is this, you know, I know times sometimes are difficult. And when the older you get and your body becomes feeble and everything becomes harder. And I know that there are enormous heartaches in life. But listen to me. You got heaven. And on your worst day, nobody can take that away from you. You know, I don't care what this crazy world ends up doing. They can destroy the body, but they can't touch the soul. And you know what? 100 years from now, folks, we're going to be having a time. We're going to be having a time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we've taken a look at this and tonight, just had some fun with it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to take this great biblical discipline that I think the Apostle Paul was just a master at. It just seemed like no matter what situation he was in, he was ready for it. He was appropriate to it. He was an intelligent man, a studied man. But I think far beyond book learning, he was a man that understood and began at some point to learn himself. And he wanted to be what he needed to be for the people around him. And so he learned to think himself happy or think himself sad or think himself to where he needs to be the greatest blessing to the most people. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us in this. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for indwelling us. Thank you for being there to give us not just what we have inside of us, not just what we have to work with, but to be able to tap into the presence and the power of Almighty God living inside of us. We can't do these things in our own power. We can't always be right, but with your help we can. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take this great Bible truth. What a wonderful truth. And may we just say, you know what? I think I'm going to take a few minutes and just think myself happy. May we be a people of praise. May we be a people of worship. May we be a people of victory. We pray these things in Jesus' name.